We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs once again. You are listening to 91.5 FM. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. It's a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. Our address is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Haven't mentioned this to you in a while, so maybe, I mean, we mentioned it at the beginning and the end, but if you have any prayer requests and you would like to send us an email or praise reports, anything like that, our email address is merrittassembly, merrittassembly @hotmail.com. You can send us that information if you would prefer to call it in. You can call us at 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. You can also mail them to us at 165 North Grove Street. We still go to the mailbox every day and get that. And so if we can be a blessing to you by helping you in praying the prayer of faith for the needs that you have in your life, we would love to do that, and we would love to share praise reports that you bring our way as well. We would do that in a very discreet manner, so as not to mention names or anything like that. But also, I do want to let you know, coming up here in, I believe it's next week, is the Share-a-thon here at WMIE, and the spring fundraiser to help keep Christian radio going throughout the county. And so I pray that you'll put that on your calendar, and you will make it a priority. Some of the people that I've, business people that I've dealt with, I've passed that information along, come to find out they are supporters of this radio station. And so we're very thankful for that. I really like doing business with Christians. And so that's why we mention the businesses that are part of our church. And so thank you. Make next week a priority in your life. Why don't you do this? Just ask God. Say, God, is there anything that I could do? Maybe you're not able to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe you're not able to sing in the choir. Maybe you don't get to preach, but maybe there's something that you could do beyond prayer. Maybe you could help promote the gospel getting throughout this community by being a partner with this radio station. One day I was standing in line at Walmart, and a gentleman turned around and said, are you Bob Arthurs from the Refresh Radio broadcast? And I said, yes, I am. And this is what he said: keep it up, because there are a lot more people listening to you than what you realize. And so for us, missions is not just something that takes place around the globe. We look at this as our mission field here in Brevard County as well. And so if you would like to see Christian radio continue, make next week a priority in your life, if you would. So thank you for tuning in. Want to invite you to the vintage service tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, my children's minister is going to be preaching in my place, I'm going to be away at a conference tomorrow. So if you would like to come and hear her, that would be awesome. She's from Canton, Ohio. Her and her husband were alumnus of the same Bible college that I went to. They went there a few years after I did, but we are so thankful to have them with us, and tomorrow would be a great opportunity for you to get to know them. So turn to Isaiah chapter 1 again, and we're going to look at a few verses. I probably won't read as much initially today as I did yesterday, And we'll just see where it goes. If I get further than I expect, then I'll read more verses. How's that sound? Isaiah chapter 1. And by the way, the book of Isaiah has been called the miniature Bible. It's got 66 chapters, just like there are 66 books in the Bible. And it is one of the most messianic prophetic books of the Old Testament. There's just tremendous revelation about the life of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus. And so it's just a really, really awesome book. So in verse number 3, it says this, Isaiah chapter 1, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. So here God says that the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Now, I've been around animals my entire life, and it really is amazing the bond that exists between them. My grandparents had a dog. His name was Blackie. I mean, it was a real original name. He was an absolute mutt, or Heinz 57, or United Nations, whatever you want to call him. He was not a purebred dog, but he was one of the smartest animals that you could ever be around. He knew where we lived. We lived about, let's see, a little over 2 miles away. We lived in the city, in a neighborhood. My grandparents lived out in the country. And that dog, every once in a while, he would disappear from my grandparents' very country area. And all of a sudden, one day, he would show up at our front door. And then he would show up back down there. And he just migrated back and forth between the two houses. He knew where we were. When we were growing up, we had a dog and a beautiful dog. We had raised her since she was a pup, and we were forced to get rid of her at one point in time. Some kids had were beating her with a baseball bat, and she bit one of them, and as a result of that, you know, we had to get rid of the dog, and that just didn't hardly seem right. But we were walking, my brother and I had a paper out. And back in those days, you had to go collect the money for the paper route yourself. And the people we had sold our dog to lived in one part of town, but unbeknownst to us, they had moved back into our area, into a neighborhood right across the street from us. And as we were walking down the street collecting newspapers, they had this dog on a leash in the garage. And my brother looks over and he said, that is our dog. And I said, no, there's no way. Well, come to find out it was. We ended up getting the dog back. We moved to a different area. And as a result, we ended up having her for the remainder of her life. But that dog knew us. And I don't know if you've ever watched the videos of soldiers who've come back from military deployments overseas and been gone for 6 months or a year, and watch the dogs that they had and how excited they get because they do recognize you. I had my grandfather had a cousin who had a dairy farm of Jersey cows. And when it came milking time, he would call those cows, and those cows knew their name. They knew what stall they were supposed to go to. They were fully trained. They knew that it was in their best interest to call when their master called. It says the donkey, which is one of the most stubborn animals on the planet, that even it knows its master's crib. And he said, here these are these lower forms of creation that have much lesser quality relationships with their human owners. And now he's going to compare us to that. And he says, but Israel, my covenant people, do not know, my people do not consider. And so they do not consider that God had brought them up. They do not consider that God had nourished them. They did not consider that God, who had created the heavens and the earth, they did not consider that he still wanted to speak to them. They had reached a place of self-sufficiency and independence. And he said, they don't give me a second thought. Now, folks, I want you to know, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is not just the people who have made a mental or adopted a mental position of atheism that are the actual fools. It's not just them. It's not just the people who, because of that, that they use their mouth and they use their mouth to say there is no God. It says the fool has said in his heart. And I believe that if we fail to consider, if we fail to retain the knowledge of God, as it talks about in Romans chapter 1, if we fail to live with the reality, if we don't stop time to think about God and consider and to know him. And in the Old Testament, the word know, it was a very intimate word. It's not to just simply be aware of, but to have an intimate encounter with. Silence on the radio is a bad thing. There was no holding back. It's like, God, this is who I am to the depth of my being, and I want to know you to the depth of your being. How is that? That's one of the best ways that I can, is uninhibited is the word I was looking for. And so he says, that is your condition. You are living in a condition where you do not even know me and you do not consider me. And that's where a lot of America is right now. People that if you were to ask them, they would say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. But when it comes time to making a decision, they don't know the heart of God and they do not consider what God's word has to say. I was in a district where, as a youth minister, many, 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 many years ago. And I went to the district council, and the district superintendent was up there, and he said, now, as when I was a pastor of a church, and he had pastored quite a large church, he said, I told my staff, he said, one of your primary responsibilities is to make the pastor look good. Now some people would hear that, and you would automatically assume that that means something egotistical or anything like that. But in actuality, what he was saying is, I want my staff to conduct themselves in the same manner in which I would conduct myself if I was in their place. You need to have the same heart, the same mindset. And that comes with our relationship with God as well. What, you know, the saying from probably 15 or 20 years ago, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond? When was the last time that you stopped, not just because you had a problem, but you stopped to consider what God would do with this situation? Look at what it says in verse number 4. This, he says, let me paint the picture of reality for you. Alas, in other words, it's not something that God's happy about. He says, you are a sinful nation. Let me put that into a slightly different twist. He says, you are a nation that is full of sin. Instead of being a holy people, a holy nation, instead of being holy even as I am holy, says the Lord, he says, you are a nation full of sin. a people laden with iniquity. Sin will never be liberating for you. It will always provide bondage in your life. Instead of it being something that frees you up and you don't have to worry about any of those things ever again, you need to understand that the reason that Satan tempts you with sin so much is because it is such a burden to carry. I would not want to be the person that is walking around completely burdened with sin and not having been caught. Do you realize that you and I have been apprehended by the grace of God to where we come face to face with what we have done, but also face to face with a Savior who is reaching out with hands extended saying, I want to forgive you if you will let me. And so he says, you are a people laden with iniquity. You are a brood of evil doers. You know, here in modern times, instead of allowing the word of God to decide evil, we have a situational ethic of definition of evil, if you will. And it's comparative. And so we look at everything and say, well, you know what? I'm not as evil as that person, therefore I'm good. And I'm not as evil as that person over there, therefore I am good. And even though I lie, I don't lie as much as that person does, therefore I'm a good person. And so that is the way that it goes. But he literally, you know, we are not the ones that define evil. Evil is not doing what God has said pleases him. It is doing things that he has told us not to do good. The Bible says to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. And so sometimes it is not just the doing of something bad. It is not doing something that God has commanded us to. That puts us in the realm of rebels and evildoers. Children who are corruptors. Now, when I'll be honest with you, the first time I read that, it was like, you know, the children are corrupted. It doesn't say that. It says the children are corruptors. In other words, there are people who are being bad influences on other people, and they're not even waiting to adulthood to achieve it. They are starting out very young. Now, so here's what I have observed through the years. They had to learn that someplace. They either had to learn that at home, or they had to learn that because of a lack of supervision in their life. They had to learn it because they were exposed to it somewhere. And it became something that was accepted rather than something that was corrected. So I encourage you. I listened to an interview many, many years ago with an Orlando Magic basketball coach. His name was Brian Hill, I believe was his name. And they were talking about his coaching style. And he said, when I come into a situation, I come in with a very tight rein on things, because you can always loosen the reins, but you can't tighten them back up once you have established that sort of culture. And there is such a permeance of corruption and sin in our society that the threshold of sin is getting younger and younger and younger. I don't know about you, but it breaks our hearts when we hear of kids who are not even hardly old enough to blow their nose, and they are already doing horrendous things. People, kids who've been taught to be thieves by their parents, you know, their parents would take them into stores and use them to steal things. That's not good. People who are are training their kids to be alcoholics, and people who are training their kids to be drug addicts, and people who are training their kids to be, you know, to be quite honest with you, some people have taught their kids to be prostitutes and sexually immoral, and just thought that it was just, I'm not talking about anybody that I know. I'm talking about news stories that I read. Every once in a while, I would come into the office, and my office manager would be in there, and her eyes would just be filled with tears. And she would say something like this: "Did you see on the news of what that person did to this child?" And if a child who was abused either verbally or physically or sexually, many times they end up repeating that behavior themselves, and sometimes they're not waiting. You know, every once in a while you hear about people. I've heard of incidents in other continents where little girls were having babies at the age of 10 or 11 or 12. And your heart grieves, and it breaks for them. And it's one thing, you know, there are certain things that I don't like, and I will not tolerate, and I will not stand for. And that is, if I see somebody abusing a child, you can expect this rather mild-mannered preacher who's not very tall in stature to come in and going to do everything in his power to stop that. I'm not going to stand by and watch idly as a man is abusing a woman. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to stand by and watch a child. You know, Jesus said, if you are going to, you know, corrupt a child, or if you're going to do something horrible to them, it would be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and cast into the sea. It's not something I'm going to stand idly by for. We're going to have a conversation. It says, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards. I don't know how many times we have taken consolation in the scripture that said this: I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, says the Lord. Because it talks about his constancy. It talks about his commitment to covenant. But here God says, they have forsaken me. You see, there are two ways situations can part. One is if one person says, you know, I'm going to leave you. And then at that point in time, the one party is the forsaken party. But you can flip that coin around as well. One person, it says, I know your flaws, I know your imperfections, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. But God says, I don't have to forsake you. You have forsaken me. And, you know, right now there are major denominations that they have forsaken the whole counsel of God. They have edited out portions of the scripture that don't line up with their social policy, and therefore they have changed the word of God. And I want you to understand that in doing that, it is in a manner forsaking the counsel of the Lord. And in my Bible, that is capital L. It's not a little L. It's not just a boss. It's not just somebody who's making a suggestion. It is the dictates of the self-existent, sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's about time that we recognized and allowed him the privilege of sitting on his throne with all the authority that is due his name. They have provoked to anger. You know, I'll tell you a story. It happened one day. I was at church, and there was this snake that was in the breezeway, and I had parked my vehicle out beside one of our doors, and this snake was in between our two buildings, And here's what I have discovered after 23 years, and that is this. Ladies don't like to come to church and find snakes in between the two buildings. It just doesn't go well with them. And so I was trying to usher this snake back into the abandoned field that was near our property. And so I began to usher him out, and finally I discovered that he wasn't moving because I was trying to intimidate him by force. And so I just grabbed a pitcher of water and I just took it and I threw the water on him with force, and he went out and slithered away from the buildings, and he slithered under my vehicle. And instead of going across the street into the vacant field that existed at that time, he made a beeline for the other side of the building. And so I ran around there, and I stood in opposition to him, and all of a sudden, I'm assuming that at this point in time that it was a female snake, because as I stood there and I was trying to get it to go back to the field, I figured that there must have been a nest somewhere near where our lawnmower was kept, because all of a sudden, the snake basically, I know it doesn't have ears, but it's an Oklahoma expression. That snake pinned its ears back and came at me full speed. And at that point in time, I said, you know what? I'm getting out of the way of that snake. That snake is angry, and we will relocate it at another time. How many of you think it's a wise thing to get out of the way of an angry snake? You don't want to provoke those. Now, it wasn't a poisonous snake and all that, but still, getting bit by a snake just didn't sound like a good plan that day. I wouldn't provoke an alligator. I wouldn't want to get in the way of that. I don't want to provoke a dog to where it wants to bite me or anything like that. Provoking a wild animal just doesn't make good sense. Making intentionally taking actions to make something so angry that it's going to change its demeanor before you, that does not make sense. And yet we as a people are provoking God, who is love, whose mercies are brand new every day. We thumb our nose at God and we say, we don't care what you have to say. We don't care what you want us to do. And we provoke him to anger. The God who had with just a spoken word could withdraw his hand, and we would inner eternity just like that. I believe it's time to stop provoking God to anger and start asking him for forgiveness and to do whatever is necessary in us to bring us back to his purpose and his plan. Father, forgive us for provoking you, for ignoring you. God, I pray that your forgiveness would be ours and obedience would be our privilege. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.